Well, I am thankful to be here. I'm here because I didn't have anything better to do. No, really. Where else would you rather be than to thank the Lord from whom all blessings flow and from whom true liberty is found on this day? I need the Lord and ask for your prayers. I'd like to consider, as I've written on the board, the challenge, dare to believe. I heard recently a message that was recorded and sent to address to the people of a nation that has historically been adversarial to the United States. And the message from our Secretary of State went something like this. We are not your enemies. And the oppression that you live under, you don't have to live under. The freedoms that we enjoy and that you see in other nations can be yours as well. The only thing standing between you and enjoying that freedom are those who rule over you. And if you'll depose those leaders, that same freedom might be yours as well. Today, I hope that every one of us are saved and know the joy of salvation. But if the songs that we sing about liberty and freedom in Christ don't ring true in your heart, may I recommend to you that you depose your ruler and find the freedom that's in Christ, for it may be yours and every one of ours. Sometimes people hesitate to get their hopes up. Can that really be for me? I'm reminded of a man named Alexander Tytler. I believe he was a Frenchman, but he wrote and studied the cycle of nations that had risen and existed and fallen. And he talked about what he called a cycle of democracy, in which a people who are in bondage yearn to be free. And in their yearning, there spawns a courage, I believe he called it, a great courage, that we don't have to be under this. We don't want this to be our lives and the lives of our children. And out of that great courage comes liberty. And then he talked about subsequent steps that he had observed of that liberty giving way to prosperity and that giving way to, I believe, apathy and dependence, and right back into the same cycle. You know, I believe the Lord wants us to dare to believe in Him. I'd like to look at the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, there's so much that could be read from this, but we'll pick a few verses here. The first verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The sixth verse says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It's impossible to come to the Lord. It's impossible to please Him without an element, a degree of faith. The Scriptures teach us that if it was reckoned of debt, if it was something the Lord owed to us, it wouldn't be of grace. We don't come with a confidence in ourselves, but when we come with a brokenness and a recognition that I can't. What's up against me? I can't. I've tried to fix it myself, and I just fall so far short. But if we'll believe in the Lord and believe in what He's able to do, this belief is about more than just an idea that I can recite to somebody. But it is a conviction that I have down in my heart, a hope that rises up that says, Lord, I may not know how. I may not know how you could ever get me out of a place like this. And you know, people can get themselves into some real pickles that I look at and say, I don't know how I could, I can't unravel that for you. I don't know how, but God can. We must believe. To come to Him for salvation, when we approach before His throne, I think of even what James said, if you ask for wisdom, he was pretty strong in what he said about the way that we ask. If any man lacks faith, if any man wavers in what he asks, don't think that you're going to get anything from the Lord. But come before Him daring to believe that God is able. The 17th verse of the same chapter says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Can you think of any time before this occurrence, which it refers of Abraham's life, that anyone had been risen from the dead? You know, that's quite a thing to think about if you haven't known of it ever happening. It was quite a thing to think about in the days of Noah that it could be a rain that would come upon the face of the earth and the waters could rise and cover the face of the earth. But by faith, Noah believed. Abraham looked at what God had promised him before this. And he looked at what God was asking him to do now. And the two didn't add up. It didn't seem to fit together. But he accounted God as faithful. And he believed that even if it required God to do something that was impossible in his mind, that he had never seen done before, that there was no precedence for, he dared to believe that God was able, that God could do that to fulfill His promise. How do we believe in the Lord? Is it just an idea? Is it just a thought? Do we build our lives on it? These things were written aforetime for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, that I might have hope. Because of what I see in the lives of others, those who came up against impossible odds. And the chronicles can go on and on and on of those who dared to believe that in the face of their giant, that the battle is the Lord's. In the face of an innumerable count of the enemy that look like grasshoppers on the hillside for numbers against their 300. Dared to hope and to believe that God was able to deliver them. Even of those that for whom obedience was costly, where it seemed utterly reckless to believe in God, were willing to believe. Romans, the 4th chapter, I want to read a little bit more about Abraham. Romans 4, the 16th verse says, therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. The stories that I read of in Hebrews 11 and throughout, really cover to cover, inspire me. It's such, talking the other day, someone about a story of Esther. What an amazing story that testifies to the providence of God. That God is able to take away the sleep of a king in the night. God is able to plant a thought in somebody's mind, that he's able to work in the affairs of kings and kingdoms and men who oppose everything that is of God and work his will through it all. But that story required a woman who was willing, who dared to believe, who was willing to say, if I die, I die. I mentioned a moment ago that this daring to believe oftentimes looks reckless. It looks like a reckless abandonment of common sense. But it's what it says Abraham did when he believed, when he hoped against hope. There really wasn't anything that fed hope in that situation. There wasn't anything he could look at that said and that affirmed to him that this is the right thing to do. That this looks like the right thing. It feels like, it seems like the right thing to do. Against hope, he didn't hope in circumstances. He didn't hope in what he was able to do. Well, there was a time that he kind of tried to solve for God's promise in his own efforts, and it's caused, even today, it's caused enmity in the world. But Abraham was a man of faith who dared to hope and dared to believe in God. And against hope, against evidence, Scriptures teach us in ways that we are to be like children. And I believe when it comes to believing in God, that we are to have a childlike faith. You know, a child has faith without being able to understand the physics of a thing, without being able to fully compute what gravity and its effects are. It can be pretty easy for a child to just launch out into the arms of somebody that they trust, not even thinking about what happens if daddy doesn't catch me. What happens if this doesn't go wrong? I just have an implicit trust in daddy. You know, whenever we get a little older, things begin to not compute in our minds. Now, wait a minute, how could that be possible? I want to inspire our children to believe in God, not Santa. You know, the things that a child might believe when they're young, along those veins, there comes a time in life that they say, wait a minute, how could that be? Wait a minute, my friend in the other state said that he came and visited him at the same time that he visited me. Wait, our chimney's not even big enough. Wait a minute, and you see how the wheels begin to turn and begin to uncover a fable. But I'm going to tell you, this is no fable. What we are believing in, what we dare to believe in, against all odds, against all common sense, is substantive. There's a foundation to it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's not just an empty, vain, oh, it sure be nice if. Well, I sure hope it doesn't rain. There's something more grounded than that, that we can build our lives on. That I don't have to go through life saying, you know, it sure would be nice if there was a God. I like the idea of believing in a benevolent and loving God. Folks, we don't need to relegate belief to that cheap place in our life. The Lord wants us to dare to truly believe in Him. To exercise in our lives a childlike faith. Where I am willing to revert back against, again, common sense and my ability to reason and try to figure things out, which is God-given and necessary for being able to go through life. But what we're doing here is not something natural. We don't just come together to try to just enhance the natural ways of things or just improve. We are coming seeking a supernatural God for supernatural answers to prayer for things that are impossible. Do we dare do something like that? How foolish is that? I remember we had a foster boy that mom and dad took in whenever I was still at home. And this boy had never had any exposure to belief in God. And I remember as we gathered in, as we often did in time for family worship, and afterwards we got down on our knees and he questioned, "What are you doing? You put your face in the chair? What are you doing there?" Folks, we dare to believe in that which we see not. Not through just an empty, meaningless, unsubstantiated, vain hope. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Just because the math, as they say nowadays, doesn't math, doesn't mean it isn't so. When it comes to the God that set the whole laws of the universe in motion, He is not subject to His own laws, but they are subject to Him. And I believe we probably all realize that we live in an unbelieving world. You know, what we're talking about here today is not just a nice accessory or an optional thing to have if we're going to please God. We already read it's impossible to please God without faith. And there's a scripture that says, I believe it's Hebrews, maybe the 6th chapter. It says that we are to fear. No, it's 4th. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. There's another verse that says, and I believe it's somewhere in this passage, but it says, lest there be in any of you a heart of unbelief. But it was a little more descriptive than that. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Thank you. Can we really say of unbelief that we could put that in the evil category? So I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. This speaking about the children of Israel, whenever God promised to them, led them right up to the promise, led them right up to the point where I've done everything but give it to you now. And I've already promised I'm going to give it to you. But you got to step foot into the river now. You're going to have to move out on what I've already told you and demonstrated to you crossing the Red Sea. And over and over and over again, I've led you right along. I've borne you up as on eagle's wings. But it's to bring you to a point. You're going to have to step out on this. Belief and faith is not just an idea. It's not a passive thing, but it is, it's an action word. It's something that I put into practice in my life, in the things that I face. I can read about it from thousands of years ago, but faith is no less, and if anything, all the more relevant in our unbelieving generation. He brought them right up to the point, and yet it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in believing and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Let's examine our belief today. Do we have a belief system? What is that? Well, it's a list of doctrines and rules and things that we do believe and don't believe. Do we have a belief system? This isn't about a list of rules and doctrines, although from the Word of God we glean and we sang the song that talked about the Word of God. Is that? But a belief system is about something that anchors me to the author of it all. The one that created it all. The one that set it all in motion. That my life, my hopes, my prayers are anchored in Him. The one that is well able. Is there anything too hard for God? Science declares it to be foolishness. If I may back up, science, falsely so called, declares belief in God to be foolishness. But it's not. Not just because I say it. But you know, I really would rather take the word of the only one that was there when he spoke the word, "Let there be," than the ideas of a man who came along and thousands of years later and has tried to compute and calculate and model and simulate and all what might have happened, and still there are so many questions that are problematic with every theory they come up with that excludes God. The problem is, when you exclude God, nothing works. And the simulations and the models of how this world was created and the way we order and live our lives, if you leave God out of the equation, nothing works. It just doesn't add up. It just doesn't fit together and it doesn't work. But if they put a lab coat on, and if they have certain letters after their name, dare we believe in the face of that? Dare we be among the pathetic few who stand and say, "I believe in God. I simply believe the word of God. I may not know how it could happen, but I believe in God." I remember some of my own struggles in high school. I remember sitting in a class where the teacher was going through the theory of evolution, and I look back really with shame at my own lack of being grounded in truth. I knew what I had been taught, and I knew what I had heard and what I had believed, but suddenly all of that's being challenged. And suddenly I'm the only one in the room that seemed to be scratching his head. Say, "I know I don't believe that, but I don't know how to convince anyone else." And I remember the teacher saying, "Well, what do you all think about this?" And my feeble response was, "Well, it sounds to me about like the theory of Santa Claus." "Well, I don't believe I convinced anybody of anything by that." But dare we believe? Can we dare take God at His word? Is it foolishness? Is it reckless to do that? I mean, come on, in the face of science that has so conclusively proven so many things in people's mind that they say, you know, really there's a natural explanation for all of that. You know, this can really begin creeping in even into Christianity and into Christians' belief systems. I read somebody who was explaining what really happened when Peter walked on the water. You see, there's a problem whenever we leave a supernatural God out of the equation. And we try to reduce God and fit Him into my understanding. And a natural explanation of the way that everything happened. They said, "Well, now we believe that in that time there was actually a cold snap," and I'm simplifying what their conclusion was. "There was a cold snap and the weather had turned extraordinarily cold, and there were actually ice floes that were out on the sea that Peter stepped out on," as if that would work anyway, but Peter stepped out and he was actually standing on an ice floe. Folks, we don't need to try to do contortions with God's word. We don't need to try to take this and copy and paste and edit and move around and rearrange the Word of God to fit the idea and the model that somebody has, because my assumption, my starting point, and my necessary conclusion is that there isn't a God, that it all has to be subject to my understanding and my ability to calculate. Folks, if we want to serve a God that is a natural God, we've got plenty of options. Plenty of options of those that have ears but hear not, and eyes but see not, and hands but that can't do anything for us. But if we want to believe in the one who is able to do things that we are unable to do for ourselves, and able to turn the tables on that which is impossible, we have but one option. And that is in the living God, who is able to do all things. So he said, exhort one another daily, while it is today, lest any of your hearts be hardened, lest any of us get into a place that my faith begins to falter. My belief in God begins to be reduced to a fairy tale-like children's storybook. I know the stories, but I want to go back here to the fourth chapter where we began reading. The second verse, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It's talking about the same thing here. The same word was given. Folks, the 10 spies, or the 12 rather, that went up under the Canaan land, we've already discussed in the meeting, they saw the very same things. They witnessed the same evidence. And two of them came back with an entirely different conclusion than what the others did. What was the difference? Again, the difference isn't in what they saw. The two of them just happened to be looking the other direction where the giant suns were. It weren't quite full size. That's not what happened. They saw the same thing, but there was faith mixed with them. It is so important that we dare to believe. It is so important that in our hearts be mixed faith. Because we can all come and gather together and thank the Lord that we have here today. And we can hear the same gospel preached. And there are some that will hear that and that will reach a conclusion. There's nothing to it. Or there are some that will hear it and maybe even acknowledge there's something to that. And yet their lives don't reflect any practical belief in it whatsoever. But if it be mixed with faith. Now I'm no doctor and I'm no farmer. But I do believe there are some things that need to be done to the soil to condition it to be able to absorb the right nutrients. And in the human body that there are times that I can't absorb a nutrient that I need. Magnesium, I believe, is an example. To be able to take in vitamin D, you need magnesium. To be able to really absorb calcium, you need the vitamin C. But for that, you need the magnesium, folks. Whenever we think about the Word of God that is preached, it's important for us to hear the preached Word of God. But I can sit under it day after day, week after week, meeting after meeting, and the reality of my life not be changed whatsoever. And the difference between somebody that can hear it and say, oh, that's what I need, I want to put that into practice, has to do at least in part, in large part, with being mixed with faith in those that hear it. Because I can hear something and say, well, sure, I believe that. Yeah, I believe God did that for Brother Abraham. I believe that Bible story. I believe that. But when it comes to my trial, if it's not mixed with faith, somehow it just doesn't apply. Somehow it just doesn't fit. It doesn't translate. You see, to be able to absorb the benefit of what the Lord's sending to me, I need to be able to have it mixed with faith. To be able to recognize, Lord, that's for me. To be able for my faith to rise and say, Lord, I accept that as for me. I think about the story of so many who encountered Christ. And his reputation preceded him in so many places that he went. They heard the miracles that he had done. And people came out. I know that there were some that came out, no doubt out of curiosity's sake. This is the talk of the town. I'm going to go out and see for myself. But there were also people who had their own sicknesses. There were also people who had their own children who were possessed with unclean spirits. There were also people who had their own needs and problems and blindness. And they heard the stories of a man who can, who did. And I believe within their hearts there arose enough of a spark of hope. They said, you know what, if God did it for them, maybe he could do it for me. If God was able to heal them, you know what? He could heal my condition as well. And faith didn't end there. With an empty, vain hope as they lay on their bed saying, you know, I believe God could do it. It compelled them to say, I'm going to go seek him. I'm going to go take and press my case before him. Because faith compels it. Because my belief in his ability to do this causes me to say it's worth whatever effort I have to go to take my case to the Lord. The 10th chapter of Romans. Romans 10 and 17th verse. Let's read this 16th. For they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Lord, we've given him the report. We've made known your wondrous works. They've heard it. But the question is, who believes it? Who believes it enough to accept and embrace it and let it be mixed with faith for me? In my situation and circumstances. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we, I trust, recognize this morning that it is of utmost importance that I simply believe in God, that I believe his word, that I believe his promises. And if I recognize a place, and I say, Lord, I'm struggling. I'm struggling to believe. You see, it's almost easier to go back and have faith for the people in the past of whom we can read the end of their story. And I can see all the way through it, and it's easier for me to say, oh, come on, why are you doubting God? Really, do you think, oh, you disciples that are in the boat, do you really think with Jesus on board that you're going under? Come on. And it's easier for me when I can read the end of their story. But they couldn't, and neither can we, of our own story. I'm not going to be able to fast forward and see what the end of my story looks like. But if I'm willing to believe in the one that holds the future, and I'm willing to give the pen to him to write the story. Folks, we too can see what God does with our impossibles. With our situations that in the middle of it, I say like no doubt they did, I don't know how this is going to end. I don't know how this is going to turn out. But when faith is put to the test, folks, God always rises to the test. Faith comes by hearing. I want to encourage us. One, share what the Lord's done for you. Folks, we need to exhort one another daily in this unbelieving time in which we live. This is what God did for me. Let me share it. I want to encourage us to be like the householder, instructed in the kingdom of God, that brought out of his storehouse things that were old. You know, I remember back in 1980, whatever, how the Lord came on the scene and the Lord worked and he changed it. Let's not let those things get lost to history. But let's also have something new to bring out of the storehouse as well. Because I believe that God is still on his throne. I believe that God still wants to work and is in the affairs of man. We heard mention in prayer requests about faith builders. You know, the Lord knows how to build our faith. And the Lord doesn't demand something beyond what he's given me, the grace and the faith to be able to accept, to have. You know, the Lord wants to build our faith. And he wants to start from the time of young children. Back home, there was a sister in the congregation that had been very sick, and she was able to be out to service Sunday. First time we had seen her in a while, and we were rejoicing in that. And you know, a little child came up to me afterwards with the biggest smile on her face. It said, "I've been praying for her, and she's here today." Oh, it is so important for us to let our children from a young age. You have a problem? You have a little problem? Let's take it to Jesus. Let's ask him. And the Lord is able to take that and begin building on that. I can look at things that I say, I don't know how I'd face that. I don't have to live tomorrow today. What I have to do is place today in God's hands and say, "Lord, when I get to tomorrow, the one that has today also has tomorrow. And I believe that somehow, some way, you'll bring me through that." We don't have to calculate everything. We don't have to be able to compute and put all the pieces together. We have to be willing to simply believe in God. Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Hebrews 6 and 11, "We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." You know, there is an end. There is an end for what you're going through right now. The Lord has that end in mind. Even as he told the children of Israel, the next 70 years are going to be really rough. "But I want you to know, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. The thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." The Lord sees the end from the beginning. And the Lord has an end, whatever it is that you and I might face. He said that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Lord, I want to be one of those that inherits the promises. It's going to require something of me. Through faith, through patient perseverance, giving God the space in my life, giving God the time in my life to be able, Lord, if you don't work in the next 30 minutes, Lord, I put myself in the hands of a mighty God. May the Lord inspire our faith to remember the God that we serve, and that we and our generation be of those who dare to believe, no matter how foolish and how silly it looks, that we dare to believe in God. That we can be of those when Jesus comes, when he said, "Will I still find faith?" Whenever everything, the prevailing winds are against it, will I still find faith? That you and I can be among those that the answer is yes. They didn't trust in their own righteousness and their own ability to figure it out and do it. They trusted that God was able. They counted him able. They counted him worthy of their trust. In closing, I'll remind you of the man to whom Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And he said, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Lord, help me to be able that my faith, a song we sing sometimes, 284, says, my faith, O Lord, ascends to thee. I don't want to bring God down to the level of my faith, but I want to say, Lord, grow my faith. Lord, help my mind and my heart to be enlarged, to be able to take in how great you are. You know, the enemy has his crosshairs trained on the faith of God's people. Psalms 11 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the enemy knows that faith is the very foundation and bedrock of the Christian. And if he can target that bedrock, he can make the whole house begin to crumble and fall. And so he does it through things like this, whispering in my mind, sometimes in the dark of night and in the heat of trial, you sure God cares about you? Are you sure God still answers prayer? And suggesting to us, you know, if you give yourself wholly into the hands of God, the worst possible thing is going to happen to you. As if. Now think about the silliness of this. As if I'm so in control that I'm going to keep God from doing something bad to me. And as if God wanted to do something bad to me. As if his plans for me were going to be the most harmful, dreadful, burdensome, difficult thing, a path of life I could ever choose. What the enemy's trying to do is undermine our belief in the very character and nature of who God is. May the Lord help us so we be able, with open face, to behold the glory of God. To see, as Isaiah, I saw the King high and lifted up. Lord, help me to see you high and lifted up. When I go to the Lord in prayer, that I see God as high and lifted up. Lord, you are well suited for the challenge of this day and of my life. May God bless and help each of us that we would dare to believe. You pray for me. Amen.